from under. If I give you what I got, you feel me like lightning and thunder.
KZFR 90.1 Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I'm Stephen Chudy. Usually in this time slot, we bring you Ecotopia, exploring ecosystems, environmental, technological, and social. But tonight, we're bringing you a 90-minute special that we call Eco Story Kids and Creeks Otopia.
I'm Susan Chudy. We'll be joining forces with Adrian Scott and Catherine Robinson of The Storyteller, usually on at 7 p.m., and a bit later we'll be joined by Marcy Holmes and Samantha Zangrilli and other members of the Kids and Creek Show that's featured on the third Tuesday of the month.
I'm Adrian Scott, and the next hour and a half you'll hear stories, poems, and music and nonfiction for ecologically minded kids of all ages as we talk about seeds and sprouts and frogs and ladybugs and water and a bunch of other critters and events taking place in the North State and beyond in these spring months.
And I'm Catherine Robinson. We're doing this program as a special part of KZFR's Pledge Week, and we hope that you'll call in during this hour. The numbers are 895-0131 or 895-0706. And our volunteers, Sophia and Drew, are out there. They're ready to take your pledge, standing by. And we thank them so much for being on the phones tonight. And they'll also be teaming up. We're going to be teaming up, as we said before, with Kids in Creeks. And they'll be reading a story later this evening.
We also want to thank our many KZFR underwriters, including EcoCab, Chico's green alternative taxi service. EcoCab provides safe, reliable transportation 24 hours a day in a new fuel-efficient Toyota Prius. Protect the planet and get to where you need to be with EcoCab, the cab that cares. Call 591-3186. And we're supported by Chico Green Builders, thank you, providing healthy and sustainable homes for the greater Chico community for over 20 years. For new construction and remodeling, you can reach Robin Tenda by calling him at 342-8267 or email at chicogreenbuilders@att.net.
She's got the fire in her black eyes and her boyfriend too.
these difficult economic times, we may not have quite the stacks of money we used to, but we're guessing that listeners really value KZFR and community radio and still see that contributing to community radio is an important thing for everyone who listens to do and something well worth supporting.
Yeah, that's true, Susan. And, you know, I think that in this kind of time of media consolidation where all what we hear is not really local but more conglomerate, where depth and diversity are increasingly hard to find, what we need is what community radio provides, like KZFR. So your support makes that possible.
You know, when you think about it, you know, what does media consolidation mean for us as you, as a media consumer? Well, it would mean less variety, fewer choices, access to kind of a limited range of perspectives. But here on community radio, KZFR, you get the depth and diversity that you're not going to find anywhere else.
And it's depth and diversity like tonight's program, Eco Story, Kids and Creeks Utopia, where we're going to combine literature and music, poetry, nonfiction in a celebration of spring. So please give us a call now with your pledge, 895-0131 or 895-0706.
Please call 895-0131, 895-0706. Tonight, we're welcoming spring. We'll start with a poem by E.E. Cummings. In just spring, when the world is mud luscious, the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee, and Eddie and Bill come running from marbles and piracies, and it's spring. When the world is puddle wonderful, the queer old blue man whistles far and wee, and Betty and Isabel come dancing from hopscotch and jump rope, and it's spring, and the little goat-footed balloon man whistles far and wee.
There's a book in the library, and it's called Laughing Tomatoes and Other Spring Poems, and this next poem is from that book by Francisco Alarcón. And I love the sound of Spanish, so I'm going to try to read it in Spanish first and then in English. It's a lovely dream, this poem. Dream, sueño. Soñé que había un jardín en cada casa. En las ventanas de las oficinas crecían jitomates. La gente se saludaba con flores. No había escuela o iglesia sin su jardín. Todos tenían buena mano para plantar, y los coches eran algo del pasado. Dream. I dreamed a garden in every home. Tomatoes grew in office windows. People greeted each other with flowers. No school or church was without a garden. Everybody had a green thumb, and cars were a thing of the past.
We've heard a little from poets about spring. Now let's turn to the science of spring. The answer to the question, what is spring, varies from one climate to another, from one microclimate to another, from one point in the Sacramento Valley to another in the foothills and beyond. But there are some common elements described for us here by the Topmarks educational site in the United Kingdom. We have seasons because the Earth takes a year to move around the sun, which gives us light and warmth. And because the Earth tilts at an angle of 23.5 degrees from the vertical. In winter, we tilt away from the sun, and in the summer, we tilt further towards the sun. However, on the first day of spring, the sun shines equally on both the north and south hemispheres of the Earth.
Okay, beyond astronomy, what happens in spring? For one thing, calves are born, and we see them all over the valley these days as we drive home to our house up in Yankee Hill. The warmer days and the regular rainfall, thank you, rain, for coming during the spring means plants such as grass grow well. The lush young grass in the fields means the cow is well fed and can produce lots of milk for her calf. Sheep have their lambs in late winter or early spring, as they also need to eat lots of fresh grass so that they can make milk for their lambs. They can have up to 4 lambs at a time, but mostly they have 1 or 2. Baby lambs will be looking for food from their mother when they're only 20 minutes old, and they can quickly stand on their own. We have a small herd of sheep on our farm, and just in the past month and a half or so, we've had probably 11 lambs from 7 ewes. And they're amazingly cute and bound around the place just like they do in cartoons. They play together and eat from their mother, and now are eating grass. And we also have a little baby goat whose name is Deuce, because he has two black hearts on his shoulder. So we're calling him Deuce for his two hearts.
As it stays light longer in the spring, birds know that it's time to find a mate. They do this by singing to each other. When they've paired up, either one or both birds will make a nest from things like dried grass, twigs, moss, feathers, or animal hair that they find. With the nest building complete and the knowledge that there's lots of food in the spring for any babies, the egg laying can begin. The female bird begins to lay an egg each day in the new nest. The number of eggs birds lay vary from bird to bird. Once all the eggs are laid, she will sit on the eggs and begin the incubation. After the incubation period, the chicks, who are blind at first, are fed by their parents until they're grown up enough to be able to look after themselves.
The child parenting website has an interesting experiment that kids of all ages can do to observe the arrival of spring. Take a piece of string about 4 feet long and lay it in a circle on the ground, or you can get a metal coat hanger and pull it open into a sort of square and put that on the ground, but that's your observation place. Every day, look at that patch of ground and make notes in a journal. Are there insects living there? Have any grasses begun to grow that weren't there before? Are there any interesting plants poking through that aren't grass? You'll find probably several. Draw pictures of the spot when you first choose it and pictures of the changes after they occur. Be sure to date and sign your pictures, or just take photographs from the same spot each day to document the changes.
And the same website also suggests that if you really want to get scientific, you could put out 3 or 4 circles or coat hangers in different parts of the yard. Take your observations and compare them. See what kinds of differences, even in the microclimates of your own backyard. You can also do the same kind of experiment by looking up. Pick a tree or a large bush in your yard. Observe it daily for signs of buds, for leaves, for birds, nests, bugs. Keep notes in your journal. Take photographs. Do drawings.
A lot of the activity that you observe is a result of seeds, as explained in the Great Sea Escape website. Seeds come in different sizes, shapes, and colors. If you've ever planted seeds, some of them are so tiny that they're smaller than a pinhead. And some of them are big, like sunflower seeds, and they come in different shapes and different colors. Some can be eaten, some can't. Some seeds germinate easily, while others need certain conditions to be met before they germinate.
The outer covering of the seed is called the seed coat. Seed coats help protect the embryo from injury and also from drying out. Seed coats can be thin and soft, as in beans, or thick and hard, as in locust or coconut seeds. Endosperm, a temporary food supply, is packed around the embryo in the form of special leaves called cotyledons or seed leaves. These generally are the first parts visible when the seed germinates.
Seeds remain dormant or inactive until conditions are ripe for germination. All seeds need water, oxygen, and a proper temperature in order to germinate. And some seeds require proper light, some like not to be covered at all, and some like to be a little bit deeper to germinate.
To watch all this happen, the Great Seed Escape suggests that you make a seed viewer. To do this, you need a clear glass or a plastic cup, some black construction paper, paper towels, and some seeds. Almost any garden vegetable seeds or flower seeds will work well. Line the inside of the cup with black construction paper. Then crumple up some paper towels one at a time and fill the cup inside of the construction paper with them. Cut the top edge of the construction paper so it ends even with the top of the cup. Slip each seed between the cup and the construction paper so you'll be able to see the seed through the clear glass or plastic. Then crumple up some paper towels one at a time, fill the cup inside the construction paper with water, and finally you put the whole thing on your windowsill while keeping the paper towels damp, and you'll be able to watch the germination of your seeds. We're posting both of those experimental websites on the ecotopiakzfr.net website if you want to look them up and do some of that scientific experimentation yourself.
Today it feels a little bit more like winter than spring. The weather has gotten colder and the rain has come like it ordinarily does in January or February. But we can think about spring coming when the weather gets warmer. And this is a poem by Carla Kuskin called Spring. I'm shouting, I'm singing, I'm swinging through the trees. I'm winging sky high with the buzzing black bees. I'm the sun, I'm the moon, I'm the dew on the rose. I'm a rabbit whose habit is twitching his nose. I'm lively, I'm lovely, I'm kicking my heels. I'm crying, come dance to the fresh water eels. I'm racing through meadows without any coat. I'm a gamboling lamb. I'm a light leaping goat. I'm a bud. I'm a bloom. I'm a dove on the wing. I'm running on rooftops and welcoming spring.
Thank you, Susan. What a joyous poem. And here's another happy poem. You know, I've been reading from this book called Laughing Tomatoes. And a little bit later on, we'll be getting those tomatoes, but I'm sure it'll be time to plant them very soon. Some people have probably started them from those seed experiments. Anyway, here's the title poem, Laughing Tomatoes, in Spanish and in English. Laughing Tomatoes, jitomates risueños. En el jardín plantamos jitomates. Los vegetales más felices de todos, alegres se redondean de sabor. Risueños se ponen colorados, convirtiendo sus arbustos alambrados en árboles de Navidad en primavera. Laughing tomatoes. In our backyard, we plant tomatoes, the happiest of all vegetables. With joy, they grow round with flavor. Laughing, they change to red, turning their wire-framed bushes into Christmas trees in spring. That's the laughing tomatoes.
I know, the tomatoes are definitely going to be a great addition to our summer feast.
Well, they do seem happy.
So I'm going to share with everybody a story from the Mi'mac people, and they're a band of Native Americans who live in Maine. They're about 30,000 people in this band, and still 11,000 of them still speak their original language, which is an Algonquin language. And so if you think you haven't heard of the Mi'mac people, I guarantee that you have, because they are known for their wigwams and their birch bark canoes, also their porcupine quill beadwork. And the name of their group, the Mi'mac, simply means my friends. So I thought, you know, that's what we are here at KZFR, among friends. So I thought that they're the right people to help us tell our spring stories. And the men and women traditionally were storytellers together and artists. And in the past, only men could be chiefs, but now today, men and women share those responsibilities in their tribal groups. So the story that I'm going to read today is about the frogs, and you will hear the origin story of frogs And, you know, I kind of think of frogs as being a hallmark of spring, so that's why I selected this story. And it's called Caloosacup and the Water Monster. Once there was a great drought. The rain stopped falling and the earth became dry. Finally, the streams themselves stopped flowing. There was a village of people who lived by the side of the stream, and life now became very hard for them. They sent someone upstream to see why the stream had stopped, and before long, the man came back. "There is a dam across the stream," he said. "It is holding back all the water. There are guards on the dam, and they say their chief is keeping all the water for himself." "Go and beg him for water," said the elders of the village. "Tell him we are dying without water to drink." So the messenger went back again. When he returned, he came back with a bark cup filled with mud. "This is all the water their chief would allow us to have," he said. Now the people were angry. They decided to fight. They sent a party of warriors to destroy the dam. But as soon as the warriors came to the dam, a great monster rose out of the water. His mouth was big enough to swallow a moose. His belly was huge and yellow. He grabbed the warriors and crushed them with his long, wiggly fingers. They were like the roots of a cedar tree. Only one warrior escaped to come back and tell the people what had happened. "We cannot fight a monster," the people said. They were not sure what to do. Then one of the older chiefs spoke. "We must pray to Gitche Manitou," he said. "Perhaps he will pity us and send help." Then they burned tobacco and sent their prayers up to the Creator. Their prayers were heard. Gitche Manitou looked down and saw the people who were in great trouble. He decided to take pity on them, and he called upon Caloosacup. "Go and help the people," he said. Caloosacup went down to earth. He took the shape of a tall warrior, head and shoulders taller than any of the people. Half of his face was painted black and half was painted white. A great eagle perched on his right shoulder, and by his side two wolves walked as his dogs, a black wolf and a white wolf. As soon as the people saw him, they welcomed him. They thought surely he was someone sent by the Creator to help them with their water crisis. "We cannot afford you anything to drink," they said. "All the water in the world is being kept by this monster and his dam." "Where is this monster?" Caloosacup said, swinging his war club, which was made of the root of a birch tree. "Up the dry stream bed," they said. So Caloosacup walked up the dry stream bed, and as he walked, he saw dried up and dead fish and turtles and other water animals, and soon he came to the dam, which stretched between two hills. "I have come for water," he said to the guards on top of the dam. "Give him none, give him none," said a big voice from the other side of the dam. So the guards did not give him any water. Then Caloosacup asked again, and the big voice answered again, "Give him none. Give him none." Four times he made this request, and on the fourth request, Caloosacup was thrown a bark cup half full of filthy water. Then Caloosacup grew angry himself. He stomped his foot, and the dam began to crack. He stomped his foot again, and he began to grow taller and taller. Now Caloosacup was taller than the dam, taller than the monster who sat in the deep water. Caloosacup's club was now bigger than a great pine tree, and he struck the dam with his club, and the dam burst open, and the water flowed. Then he reached down, and he grabbed that water monster. It tried to fight back, but Caloosacup was too powerful. With one giant hand, Caloosacup squeezed the water monster, and his eyes bulged out, and his back grew bent, and he rubbed it with his other hand, and it grew smaller and smaller. "Now," Caloosacup said, "no longer will you keep others from having water. Now you will just be a bullfrog. But I will take pity on you, and you can live in this water from now on." Then Caloosacup threw the water monster back into the stream. And to this day, even though he hides from everyone because Caloosacup frightened him so much, you can still hear this bullfrog sing, "Give him none, give him none." The water flowed past the village. Some of the people were so happy to see the water, they jumped into the stream. They dove so deep and stayed in so long that they became the fish and the other water creatures. They still live in that river today, sharing the water which no person can ever own. And that is the story of the Mi'kmaq people. And I thought that story fit in with Ecotopia in many ways, you know, because we have our own water troubles now. And here we're having this lovely rain today to celebrate spring.
Yay.
Good deal.
I'm happy.
Well, you know, the rain is falling, and you can just feel it seeping into the ground, and the roots are saying hooray, and the tree roots. And our next little poem is about a tree, about a springtime, relatively new springtime celebration of Cesar Chavez's birthday. And he lived from 1917 to 1993. Of course, he's the Mexican-American leader, the founder of the United Farm Workers of America. And this is from that poem book called Laughing Tomatoes, and it's a tree for Cesar Chavez. Un árbol para Cesar Chavez. And they're planting a roble, which is an oak, in honor of him. Un roble plantamos en tu día. Un roble en medio del parque. Un roble cada vez más frondoso. Un roble con tus facciones y tu espíritu. Un roble con los brazos abiertos. Un roble para grandes y chicos. Un roble listo para celebrar tu cumpleaños cada 31 de marzo con hojas tiernas de primavera. And the English of this is a tree for Cesar Chavez. An oak we planted on your day. An oak in the middle of the park. An oak more bountiful with time. An oak with your features and your spirit. An oak with open arms. An oak for grown-ups and children. An oak ready to celebrate your birthday every March 31st with tender leaves of spring.
Thank you, Catherine. What a fine poem. There will also be a celebration of Cesar Chavez's birthday on the 31st, City Plaza, 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Music community leaders will speak, an opportunity for us all, rain or shine.
That's Saturday.
To celebrate on
right
Saturday.
Downtown in the plaza.
Right downtown.
Oh, I knew you'd know what was going on. I was going to ask you.
Right.
It's so great.
We are in the middle of our pledge drive. We want you to support the work that we're doing here. As you know, we are almost all local programming. Everyone that you're hearing tonight and most of the programs you hear are created by local programmers who are volunteers. We are not paid. We are part of the community, and we volunteer this effort because we believe in community radio. We believe that you would like to hear from people in your own community, and we want you to help us build community by supporting your community radio station. Please call 895-0131, 895-0706. That's 895-0131, 895-0706. Please show your support for your community radio station that grows from your community and gives to your community.
Headed suits, sugar cars, fine hotels, big cigars. Grabs you up for a price where the red hot girls keep dancing tonight. Blame is on you, the shots are on me. So what do you do? It's guaranteed. Hey, little girl, you want it all. Furs, diamonds, painting on the wall. Come on, love me for the money. Come on, listen to the money talk. Come on, love me for the money. Come on, listen to the money talk. French made, foreign chef, big house, king size bed. You had enough, you ship them out, and dollars up and down, you better buy the pound. Blame's on you, the shots are on me. What do you do? It's guaranteed. Hey, little girl, you broke the law. You hustle, you deal, it's good for my soul. Come on, come on, love me for the money. Come on, come on, listen to the money talk. Come on, come on, love me for the money. Come on, come on, listen to the money talk.
Money talks, big head walks, money talks.
Money talks.
Okay, so welcome back, all you listeners out there in Radio Land. You are tuned to KZFR Chico 90.1 FM, and this is a special edition of Eco Story Kids and Creeks Utopia. That's right. Eco Story Kids and Creeks Utopia. This is a blending of some great shows here on Community Radio, Ecotopia, Storyteller, and Kids and Creeks. And you know that KZFR is an oasis of diversity amid the sameness of the commercial media landscape. So here we are. I know it's your dinner hour. We provide germination for your mind and soul with our amazing variety of programs.
And I just want to give the number again real quickly, 895-0131, 895-0706, or 0706. Telephone operator training, I have to say zero. But I want to tell you that David has joined Sophia and Drew, so we got three people out there waiting for your call. Well, also, a new addition to our program line is the monthly Kids and Creeks Hour, every third Tuesday at 7 p.m. And there's a couple of volunteers here, Sammy Sangrilli and Marcy Holmes, to tell you about their work and why they support community radio.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Tell us a little bit about Kids and Creeks first, Sammy and Marcy.
Kids and Creeks is an outdoor science education program that provides field trips and classroom visits to third through sixth grades. We also have a in-classroom science program going on for sixth, seventh, and eighth graders at Blue Oak. And then we do various tabling outreach events. And we have a puppet in the Endangered Species Fair Procession of the Species Parade.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So that's kind of the basis of what we do.
Right. And how's your radio program working? I'm sure many of our listeners have heard the first installment, but
and it is the fourth Thursday of the
Tuesday
month, of Tuesday. we're gonna get it okay. All together. It's the fourth Tuesday of the month
from 7 to 7:30. So far, it's going really well. We have a key group of people that come in every time, including me and Marcy, and we try and do a theme every time to really like capture what Kids and Creeks is about and spread our message a little bit more. Our first theme was migration, our second theme was restoration, and our next theme will be wildflowers.
Yeah, it's a really great show, and I'm so excited to share that time slot with you guys. I'm so glad you guys came on board.
Thanks, Adrian, for sharing your time slot with us.
Yeah, no, it's more the merrier. That's what community radio is all about.
Indeed. And what do we have coming up a little bit later this evening, like in 25 or 30 minutes?
We have a story for everybody about the process of water, the water cycle. So it'll be a little story about that.
Stay tuned for the goofy voices.
All right.
I love the voices.
Thank you, Marcy and Sammy. Community radio with shows like Kids and Creeks exist only as long as people who choose to listen also choose to help pay for the bills. That's how KZFR remains independent, and we hasten to add we're the independent radio voice in the North State. As long as our funding comes from you, the community, KZFR is free to reflect the richness and diversity of our community. Please pick up the phone and call us now, 895-0131 or 895-0706. Give us a call, please.
A thing called spring, when the world was writing verses like yours and mine, all the boys and girls would sing as we sat at little tables and drank May wine. Now April, May, and June seem sadly out of tune. Life has stuck a pin in the balloon. Spring is here. Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Spring is
no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody needs me. Spring is here. Why doesn't the breeze delight me? Stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here. Spring is here. Spring is here.
Spring is here. That was Carly Simon singing that good old standard. And I remember my dad playing that on the piano every springtime. Well, one sign of spring is the creatures, the little bugs and critters that are waking up with the warmer weather. Hopefully it'll get a little warmer. And the other day, when we did have a clear day, I was riding my bicycle and a ladybug landed on my arm. It was an enchanting moment. She rode along for about 3 miles on my arm and finally just flew off, but I got to thinking about ladybugs, and I found this fun book in the library called Ladybugology. It's to help kids to learn how to do fun and safe studies with ladybugs. We're not going to hurt the ladybugs. So I'm going to read a little bit of some of the topics in here, which includes their different sizes, their different spots, how ladybugs are superheroes in fighting harmful bugs, and about how they hibernate until the spring. But first of all, you know, you've probably met a ladybug before. Perhaps you know that ladybugs are often red with black dots and they like to crawl around on the plants. But what else do you know? Have you ever really been introduced to a ladybug? Well, they're called ladybugs by most folks. These creatures are also known as ladybird beetles. I know my cousin in England calls them ladybirds. But they're neither ladies nor birds, but they are beetles. Some people are frightened by all little creatures like beetles or ladybugs, but you'll find that ladybugs don't sting you like a bee or scratch you. They might give you a little nip, but it's nothing that's going to require a Band-Aid. Well, biologists, you know, are scientists who study living things, and ornithologists are the ones who study birds. We like to say that ladybugologists are the backyard explorers who look into the lives of their ladybug neighbors. They're also scientists who handle small critters with gentleness and respect. You don't need to hurt anything to be a ladybugologist. In fact, the more careful you are with the little creatures, the more you will learn. And all you need to do is open your eyes and watch the small bug dramas that are playing out in your own backyard. Well, ladybugs, you know, even though they're named ladybug, you'd think that maybe they were all ladies, that they were all female. But a large number of the ladybugs you find are going to be male. Some people think that the spotted ladybugs are the female and the unspotted ones are the male, but that isn't the case. But there are different kinds of ladybugs with different markings. Some ladybugs have only 2 spots. Other species of ladybugs may have many spots, or like the California ladybug, no spots at all. That's always kind of a surprise. No spots, but I'm sure you've seen those. And the yellow-spotted ladybug could have stripes or spots. And some Australian ladybugs are covered with kind of splotchy markings. And the polished ladybug is pale yellow with many black spots. Well, you know, ladybugs can come in different sizes, too. The tiniest ladybugs are only the size of a pinhead. And the largest are about as big as a chocolate chip. Now, since there's more than 2,000 species of ladybugs in the world, getting to know them could take quite a while. So next time you see a ladybug, see if it has spots or stripes or maybe no spots at all. Did you know that ladybugs can be heroes in the agricultural world, because they tend to like to eat harmful bugs? And this book, Ladybugology, compares it to herds of cows. What are the herds of cows? Well, think about those herds of aphids that are all over your roses. It says you've probably seen herds of cows grazing in meadows, but have you ever seen herds of sap-drinking aphids grazing on leaves? These tiny insects, these aphids, they look like water bags with legs and antennae, and they use needle-like beaks and tap into the sap, searching through the stems and leaves of plants. The sap pours in so fast that those little aphids would blow up like balloons if they didn't release their partially digested sap from their back ends. And this sticky, sweet sap left behind is called honeydew. Honeydew is sticky because, like soda pop, it's full of sugar. Well, you know, cows provide milk, but their meat may be used for hamburgers. Aphids are also eaten for their meat. It's bug burgers that the ladybugs are in search of. An aphid is a perfect snack for a ladybug. Not only is it easy to catch, but it's filled with sweet sap. And with its large jaws, a ladybug will munch aphid after aphid until it's full. And even the ladybug larvae eat the aphids too. Did you know that adult ladybugs can eat as many as 100 aphids per day? That's a lot of bug burgers. Ladybugs also dine on tiny armored insects called scales that cover leaves and branches like billions of freckles. And scales can do a lot of damage to crops. Ladybugs eat a variety of bugs, not only aphids, scales, but mites, thrips, mealybugs, very young caterpillars, beetle larvae, and even fly maggots. Well, to all these peaceful leaf munchers, ladybugs are the terrors of leafland. So most ladybugs are meat eaters, but some of them eat plants, like the Mexican bean beetle. Now, ladybugs, because they like to eat these harmful bugs, they can really be heroes. In the spring, sometimes that aphid honeydew can fall from the sky like rain. Living in trees and roses and other plants are billions and billions of aphids, and they can reproduce very quickly. A female aphid, when she's only 6 days old, can give birth to baby aphids. And with all those aphids being born, it's no wonder that plants can be quickly overrun by them. People try to kill those aphids off. Unfortunately, they sometimes use poisons called pesticides, and it may be only a few days before more aphids fly in from somewhere else. But meanwhile, the pesticides have also killed off the ladybugs and the other creatures that eat aphids. These predators or hunters can't expand their numbers as fast as aphids, so in the end, pesticides really kind of help the aphids. Well, long before pesticides were available, farmers depended on ladybugs for bug control, and scientists are looking into this more and more today now, too. A really interesting story, back in the 1860s, right here in California, there was brand new orchards where oranges and lemons and other citrus fruits were being grown. The climate was perfect, and the farmers were successful, until a small plant-eating insect was accidentally brought in from Australia. This creature was called the cottony cushion scale because of a white egg sac found on its back. Since it had no predators in California, the cottony cushion scale spread quickly and killed large numbers of trees. Many farmers just gave up and left their citrus groves. Fortunately, a clever ladybugologist named Albert Kobola came to the rescue. He searched in Australia for an insect that would eat the scale, and in 1892, he brought back a species of ladybug that dined on cushiony cotton scales, nothing else. Within a year, these ladybugs were heroes. They had saved the orange, grapefruit, and lemon groves. And since that time, ladybugologists have been carefully studying ladybugs to figure out better ways to control insects and other arthropods that eat those crops. Well, we got one more little topic about the ladybugs. Did you know that some ladybugs right now are having a big slumber party? It's their hibernation. And pretty soon they'll start waking up. A few of them have, like that little guy that was on my sleeve when I was riding my bike. But it's a fascinating phenomenon where the ladybugs go in the winter. You've heard that little rhyme. Ladybug, ladybug, fly away home. Your house is on fire and your children will burn. Well, in the old days, farmers used fire to clear land for new crops, and they'd call out this warning to the ladybugs. They knew the ladybugs were a help to them in controlling those plant-eating insects, and they didn't want them to be toasted in the flames. Though ladybugs don't have homes to go to like we do, many are found in the same dormancy or resting sites from year to year. In spring and early summer of each year, ladybugs can usually find plenty of aphids and other small bugs to eat. But toward the end of summer, the bug cupboard may become a little bit bare, and at this time, many species of ladybugs will fly to cooler locations, such as dark, moist forests or high mountains. The low temperatures in these places cause the ladybugs to slow down. Slowed down ladybugs don't eat much, which helps them survive the winter when little food is available. Ken Hagen is a California ladybugologist. He studied one species, the convergent ladybug, for many years, and he found that convergent ladybugs living along the California coast store large amounts of fat in their bodies, like bears getting ready for winter, and the ladybugs use this fat for food during a long winter rest. He also noticed that when most of the ladybugs had been eaten up in the fall, convergent ladybugs get ready to leave for better hunting grounds. And in the mornings when the air is still calm, the ladybugs fly straight up, riding the rising air currents. And soon they're so high that it's too cold for them to fly, so they drop into warmer air and fly once more. And they cruise along, and they drift along in the air currents. Each day the ladybugs are carried a little farther, until they reach the Sierra Nevada mountains. Eventually, they find sunlit spots where they gather in large winter slumber parties. Hagen and the other ladybugologists have found piles and piles of ladybugs, and one pile had as much as 40 million ladybugs. And you see them crawling all over the branches and the rocks. I remember my dad taking me fishing along a creek up in the mountains, and we stumbled across this ladybug hibernation slumber party, and they were just thick everywhere. Beautiful sight. Well, ladybug slumber parties are truly cool. Cold winter temperatures chill those ladybugs to the point that they can't move or eat. Unlike at a kid's slumber party, there isn't much action. The ladybugs just rest quietly through the winter, living off stored fat until they're aroused by warmer temperatures. Then the convergent ladybugs ride the winds once more, but this time they travel back down the mountains to the valleys in the west. And many other species of ladybugs throughout the world, besides the convergent ladybugs, take off on that journey to resting spots. So, in early spring, just right now, you might be able to check out some of these locations where they're slumbering away. Perhaps you'll find some sleepy ladybugs, and if you do, be a considerate neighbor and let them slumber until the warm days of spring. And that's our information tonight about ladybugs.
On the ladybug's back, right down the middle where the ladybug flaps. Red and yellow, all the ladybugs be. Slap myself on my ladybug knee. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Down on Grandpa's farm. Will you be my ladybug? Will you be my ladybug? Will you be my ladybug? Down on Grandpa's farm. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Down on Grandpa's farm. Ladybugs dance to the ladybug call. All of them laugh at the ladybug ball. One little lady.
ladybug gets to a jig, a hen and a chicken and a big fat pig. Yes, I'll be a ladybug. Yes, I'll be a ladybug. Yes, I'll be a ladybug down on Grandpa's farm. The morning sun, a brand new day filled with ladybug fun. Ladybugs eating on an aphid stew, chewing and enjoying like a ladybugs do. Yes, I'll be a ladybug. Yes, I'll be a ladybug. Yes, I'll be a ladybug down on Grandpa's farm. Grandpa's farm is the place to be. Ladybug, ladybug, ladybug see. Ladybugs, they never do no wrong. Ladybugs dance till the cows come home. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug. Yes, I'll be your ladybug down on Grandpa's farm.
You are listening to Ecotopia and The Storyteller and Kids and Creeks in a special 90-minute program in support of KZFR's pledge drive. We began our pledge drive yesterday, and we are hoping that you will support Kids and Creeks, The Storyteller, and Ecotopia by calling with your pledge right now. The number is 895-0131-895-0706. Please support these three programs.
Community radio is a bargain, both fiscally and intellectually. We're inexpensive fiscally, but we're not free. Commercial-free KZFR needs money to run the transmitter and studio equipment, to pay the rent and the power bill, money to support our amazing staff. We're not extravagant, however, and KZFR operates on a frugal budget, one that brings an incredible amount of original programming to the North State. What you contribute to KZFR stays here and helps to support the local economy.
We hope that you're ready to call at 895-0131 or at 895-0706 and make your pledge. And let us ask you to take just a moment to consider increasing your usual pledge. Our costs increase every year, and we're growing so that we can serve you even better. If every contributor would add even $5 or $10 to their pledge, think what a difference that would make. We're grateful for every dollar you contribute, but if you can, please consider giving just a little more.
And the number again is 895-0131 or 895-0706. We want to thank Drew and Sophia and Dave once again for being with us this hour. Eco Story Kids and Creeks Otopia is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Ed's Printing. Ed's Printing offers envelopes, business cards, newsletters, flyers, and carbonless forms. A variety of recycled paper is available. Ed's Printing is located at 550 Cherry Street in Chico. The telephone number is 891-4625. And we're supported by Alternative Energy Systems, a locally owned and operated partnership providing energy for life, with information about sustainable energy available on the web at www.solarenergyforlife.com. Alternative Energy Systems offers energy solutions for residential, commercial, and agricultural needs. They can be reached by calling 345-6980.
Please call right now and support your community radio station, 895-0131, 895-0706.
I don't love the mountain. I don't love the sea. I don't love Jesus. He never done a thing for me. I ain't pretty like my sister, small like my dad, but good like my mama.
You are listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
And tonight on KZFR, we are presenting Eco Story Kids and Creeks Utopia, teaming up with a fresh twist on our Tuesday night lineup. In the next half hour, we're going to continue exploring ecology, wonder, music, and the literature of spring. And we also are going to continue our pledge drive. And we are hoping to get your phone calls at 895-0131 or 895-0706. And also, please don't be afraid to pledge online at kzfr.org.
And this part of the program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, your KZFR members, and by Lion Books and Learning Center, Chico's locally owned bookstore. Lion Books offers new and used books, gifts, magazines, cards, and a tutorial center. Lion Books celebrates local authors with book signings and special events. They're located in Chico on 5th Street between Main and Broadway, and the telephone number is 891-3338. You can visit them on the web at lionbooks.com. That's lyonbooks.com. And by CORE, Community Options for Resources in Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended classroom and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952.
Love, it's money that I love. It's money.
As many of our listeners know, the fourth Tuesday of every month in this time slot is the new Kids and Creeks show. Tonight, Kids and Creeks has been answering the phones for us, and now they're here to read us a story.
We're going to share a story with you about the water cycle.
Our story starts in the ocean. We're watching two drops of water.
It's getting hot in here in the ocean. I don't think I can swim anymore. I'm feeling light and airy. I think the sun's doing it to me.
I can't help it. I'm hot. I'm full of energy. That's what I do, and I do it so well, don't I?
Yes, you do. But I think I'm getting dizzy, and there isn't even a whirlpool here. I'm feeling so strange. I think I'll just float for a while. No more swimming for me.
Uh-oh, you're not floating in the water anymore. You're floating in the air. You're not a drop of water either. You're water vapor now. What's water vapor?
It's water, but it's a gas. You've evaporated and turned into a gas. And so have I. Let's fly up high.
I feel like joining the others and forming a crowd.
I think you mean cloud, not a crowd. Okay, let's condense.
What does that mean?
Condensing means that we'll change back into a liquid. Water, of course. Then we'll be part of a cloud.
Okay, now we're part of a beautiful, fluffy cloud. Let's fly over the land and watch the goats. Take a look at those beautiful mountains. But now I'm feeling heavy and cold. I think I'm going to snow.
Hey, what's got six arms? And there's nothing exactly like it in the whole world.
Me. I am so special. You two, of course. We're both snowflakes. Hey, where are we going now?
I can't stop falling. You're falling too, but where are we going?
Down.
Thanks. I knew that. It looks like we're taking a trip to the mountains. I hope you know how to ski.
Well, it looks like we're stuck here on a glacier. I wonder why they call it rivers of ice.
I'm getting crushed here.
Now I'm ice. This is not my favorite part of the water cycle.
We're only moving about a foot a year. This is going to be so boring. It's a long way to the bottom.
You'd better get used to it. We're stuck on this glacier for a while.
A long, long, long time ago, two very bored drops of water emerged from the bottom of the glacier. I, the sun, haven't been much help to them lately.
Wow, I finally melted!
Me too. I'm free at last. What a change. We were practically standing still, and now we're shooting the rapids.
Watch out for that rock and that waterfall.
Ouch. I've had enough of this. Can we go home now?
We don't have a home. At least we're out of the mountains. That's the water's getting deeper. What's going on here? You can slow down now. We're in a river, and we're getting warmer.
I like this. Not too fast and not too slow.
Let's go down this side stream. It looks clear and clean. Okay, we're in a reservoir now. We'll be flowing through huge pipes soon. I've been here before.
Here they are. It's dark and spooky in those pipes. How do we get out of here?
Just go with the flow.
There's a light at the end of this tap. We're in the sink. Ew, that kid's brushing his teeth.
I hope she doesn't drink us. It's really weird when that happens. Woo, that was a close call. Looks like we're whirlpooling down the drain. Hold your nose!
More dark pipes, but these pipes are really smelly. We must be in the sewer under the city. Boy, do I need to take a bath. Now we're in the sewage processing plant. I heard that. I'm a sewage processing plant. You've come to the right place. I'm so amazed that I can even give you a bath and give you water in your bath. Now you're all filtered and clean. Just take that pipe to the sea.
We're finally back in the ocean, you know. I've done this trip a million times, and every time, it's different.
I was well water in Washington once.
I was a typhoon in Thailand twice.
I was rain in Rwanda.
I was snow in Siberia.
We've all been snow in Siberia. But I was a puddle in Pakistan.
I was a lake in Louisiana.
I was a swamp in Switzerland.
There are no swamps in Switzerland. But a long, long time ago, I was sleep that fell on the snoot of a T-Rex.
Show off. I rained on a plane in Spain, and I seeped through the soil and went into a cave, and then I was groundwater for 500 years.
Boring.
Hi there, it's me, the sun again. Did you miss me? I know you did.
I feel so hot and dizzy.
Oh no, it's starting all over again.
I wonder where we'll go this time.
Thank you. that spring we're back again to satisfy my lazy yen. I'll miss those days of dreaming. If birds were nestling in the trees, at least we're swaying with the breeze. My heart would keep on beaming, whoa, whoa. I hope the south wind blows past my door and leaves me someone whom I can adore. I think of nothing but love and romance. I've got the spring fever blues, I mean. I've got the spring fever blues.
Oh, yeah, those spring fever blues. Yeah, here we are at KZFR. And we just, you know, one more time want to thank Sammy and Marcy for their wonderful reading of that Kids and Creeks story of the water cycle. And we were just thinking about how KZFR is kind of like the water cycle. You know, all these volunteers that come out of the vast ocean of our local community. And then we come here and we're able to share a part of who we are. And it becomes the whole big community, which is our ocean here of resources and information. And so we're so happy to share that time with you. And you know, Susan and Stephen, Catherine, yeah. And myself, we're just a part of that, these drops in the ocean of community radio.
And we hope that we bring you information and ideas and people that you wouldn't encounter in any other place. On Ecotopia, we try to do both local shows and national shows and shows with international impact. And we're hoping we're bringing you things that you're not getting in any other place. So please call us with your support, 895-0131, 895-0706. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your listening support, and we appreciate your financial support.
You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about pledge amounts. It's entirely up to you. And we're just very grateful for every single dollar you give. But we're going to ask you to give a little more according to your means. If you can give a little, give a little. If you can give a lot, then please do. The sky is the limit, and we are the raindrops that keep falling from the sky. And you know that it's money well spent. It's a gift to the community and an investment in real, honest-to-goodness, independent radio, a commodity that's become pretty rare these days.
You know, a fun thing that I love to do is to give during my favorite program. And we're combining three programs here right now, Ecotopia, The Storyteller, and Kids and Creeks. What a wonderful community resource this is. I've lived in this community all my life. That's a long time. And my roots are very deep here. It's a long time. And my roots are deep here. And I think of community radio as a really nourishing thing. It's seeping down into the roots, and it's adding variety and vitality and so much fun to my life, and hopefully to yours too. And so if this is one of your favorite programs, you know, one of these programs is bound to be, especially Ecotopia, all the wonderful information that we get about the earth that we live in, and The Storyteller and Kids and Creeks. What other radio station provides quality programming for kids of all ages? And I know a lot of adults that enjoy the kids programs too.
Mm-hmm, so, we're all kids at heart here.
Mm-hmm. So I can't stress enough how important it is if you could just help us out, because it just keeps those roots being nourished. If you call 895-0131 or 895-0706, please do it. Just won't you join us tonight?
Yeah, and so for in keeping with The Storyteller and local ideas, we're going to, I'm going to read a story from the Yurok tradition. And the Yurok people are people who live, of course, in Northern California, more closer to the Eureka, Oregon border, and even coastally. And this story is called How Thunder and Earthquake Made Ocean. And there's a couple of areas that are mentioned here from their native maps, Opus and Sumig. Okay. Thunder lived at Sumig. One day he said, "How shall the people live in if there is just prairie there? Let us put some ocean there," he said to Earthquake. "I want to have water there so that the people may live. Otherwise, they will have nothing to live on," he said to Earthquake. What do you think? Earthquake thought, That is true, he said. There should be water there. Far off I see it. I see the water. It is at Opus. There are salmon there and water. Go, said Thunder. Go with Kingfisher, the one who sits by the water. Go and get water at Opus. Get the water that is here to come. Then the two of them went, Kingfisher and Earthquake, went to see the water. They went to get the water to come to Opus. They had two abalone shells that Thunder had given them. Take these shells, Thunder had said. Collect the water in them. First Kingfisher and Earthquake went to the north end of the world. There Earthquake looked around. This will be easy, he said. It will be easy for me to sink in this land. Then Earthquake ran around. He ran around and the ground sank, and it sank there at the north end of the world. Then Kingfisher and Earthquake started for Opus. They went to the place at the end of the water. They made the ground sink behind them as they went. At Opus, they saw all kinds of seals and salmon. They saw all the kinds of animals and fish that could be eaten there living in Opus. Then they took water in the abalone shells. Now we will go to the south end of the world, said Earthquake. We will go there and look at the water. Thunder, who is at Sumig, will help us by breaking down the trees. The water will extend all the way to the south end of the world. There will be salmon and fish of all kinds, and seals in the water. Now Kingfisher and Earthquake came back to Sumig. They saw that Thunder had broken down the trees. Together, the three of them went north. They went together, and sinking the ground as they went. The earthquake quaked and quaked, and water flowed over it as Kingfisher and Earthquake poured it from the abalone shells. Kingfisher emptied his shell and filled the ocean halfway to the north end of the world. Earthquake emptied his shell, and it filled the ocean the rest of the way. As they filled in the ocean, the creatures which would be food swarmed into the water. The seals came as if they were thrown in by handfuls. Into the water they came, swimming toward the shore. Earthquake sank, the land deeper, making gullies, and the whales came swimming through the gullies where the water was deep enough for them to travel. The salmon came running through the water. Now all the land animals, the deer and elk, the foxes, the mink, the bears and others, had gone inland. Now the water creatures were there. Now Thunder and Kingfisher and Earthquake looked upon the ocean. This is enough, they said. Now the people will have enough to live on. Everything that is needed is in the water. So it is that the prairie became ocean. It is so because Thunder wished it so. It is so because Earthquake wished it so. All kinds of creatures are in the ocean before us because Thunder and Earthquake wish the people to live. And I love the story, too, because it kind of has that metaphor about now the people will have enough to live on. Everything that is needed is in the water. And that's certainly a theme for Ecotopia.
It is a theme for Ecotopia. And there are some people who complained about the rain, say, oh, it's cold, it's wet, we've had so much rain. But remember, we didn't have a lot of rain in December. And this is welcome, welcome rain for all of our valley, and we live up in the foothills where we don't necessarily have all the valley wetness, so we're really appreciating this rain. But usually spring we identify with warm and sunny days and with the clouds starting to clear away. This is a poem by Billy Collins called Today that talks about just that sort of spring day. If ever there were a spring day so perfect, so uplifted by a warm, intermittent breeze that it made you want to throw open all the windows in the house and unlatch the door to the canary's cage, indeed rip the little door from its jamb. A day when the cool brick paths and the garden bursting with peonies seem so etched in sunlight that you feel like taking a hammer to the glass paperweight on the living room end table, releasing the inhabitants from their little snow-covered cottage so they could walk out, holding hands and squinting, into this larger dome of blue and white. Well, today is just that kind of day.
That ain't the cleaner. It is. Yes, yes. I'll polish the leaves, make them green again, shake out the trees. Change the scene again. Spring cleaning, getting ready for love. Sweep out the nook, down in Lover's Lane, turn on the brook, make it run again. Spring cleaning, getting ready for love. Dust off the wintry bowers, wash them off with April showers, cover them with fragrant flowers, shine up the silvery moon. 'Cause you and I have a rendezvous under the sky, like we used to do. Spring cleaning, get ready for love.
A survey of stars in the Milky Way has revealed something new about how our galaxy formed. It found evidence that the inner, thin disk of the Milky Way grew organically from the inside out, like the rings of a tree. The surrounding outer disk likely formed all at once. Astronomer Judy Cheng of UC Santa Cruz was part of a survey of stars called SEGWAY that analyzed starlight of 118,000 stars in the disk of our Milky Way.
We looked at different parts of the disk. So the disk can be thought of as two components. There's a thin disk, which is what you see in the sky, and then a thick disk, which is not visible from the Earth, but is made up of old stars.
Stars create heavier elements as they age, and when stars die, the heavier elements become part of the next generation of stars. The SEGWAY survey analyzed starlight to reveal the metals in stars. The metals showed which parts of our galaxy have seen several generations of stars come and go.
The idea behind SEGWAY is to use the stars that we observe and study their chemical compositions, look at their motions and also their positions in the galaxy to understand how the stars got there, when they were born, and how they fit into our picture of the galaxy.
Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Kids in Creeks presents our third spring concert, April 15th, with Brown Bird and special local guests at the Chico Women's Club. Tickets available at Lions Books, 360 Ecoteque, and Chico Natural Foods.
As cheer kickers are. Cling to these coils and curl in a ball.
Kids in Creeks, instilling watershed stewardship for 15 years.
With commerce and crime.
Earth, Scott. And we want to thank Kids in Creeks again for joining us on this special show, Eco Story Kids in Creeksotopia on KZFR, which has been made possible by your generous contributions and by Lion Books and Learning Center, Chico's locally owned bookstore. Lion Books offers new and used books, gifts, magazines, cards, and a tutorial center. Lion Books celebrates local authors with book signings and special events. They're located in Chico on 5th Street between Main and Broadway, and their telephone number is 891-3338. You can visit them on the web at lionbooks.com. And by CORE, Community Options for Resources in Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended classroom and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952.
This has been Eco Story Kids and Creeksotopia on KZFR. We hope you've enjoyed this special program and that if you haven't already pledged, you'll do that. Call 895-0131 or 895-0706 with your pledge. I'm Stephen Chudy.
Yeah, and I'm Adrian Scott, and we really encourage you to keep calling the station and make your pledge. And don't forget that there is an online option at kzfr.org. So thanks, of course, for supporting community radio.
I'm Catherine Robbins, and thanks so much for tuning in. We've had so much fun doing this show, and we deeply appreciate your support of community radio. And thanks again to Kids in Creeks team for reading that wonderful story for us.
And I'm Susan Chudy, and I thank you as well for listening and allowing us to be a part of community radio. Please call with your pledge, 895-0131, 895-0706. Stay tuned to KZFR, FM 90.1, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.